Hi, folks, and welcome to the podcast. I am John Galt, and today I thought what we would do is something a little bit different. Rather than talk about the news of the day directly, and there's certainly plenty of that to go around, we'll get back to that next time. I thought this time what I would do is actually answer some email that I got recently. And as I've mentioned, the show has just been just growing tremendously in recent times, especially the last couple of months. Really, the audience has just absolutely exploded, which is very cool, and I'm happy to have all of you here. But along with that, and if you have any experience with the internet, you know this to be the case. But along with that, you get a lot of, well, I will avoid calling them trolls or nutcases or whatever, but just here within the last few days, I've got some of these folks, and I thought that it would be kind of a teachable moment, as the Obamasiah would say, to talk about what these folks had to say. Now, the first one here is a fellow who identifies himself only as John Smith. Great name there, John. I'm sure you use that when you and your good lady wife check into the hotel of your choice, don't you? And I will mention, by the way, folks, that all of these people, none of them presumably use their real name. And I will not hold that against them, because I am John Galt. But unlike me, these are all folks who remain totally anonymous. There's no way to get a hold of them. There's no way to respond to them. You can't leave email anywhere for them. Basically, they just wanted to do their little drive-by number, take a shot, and then, you know, fade into the woodwork. Okay, fine. So let's talk about Mr. John Smith here first. Let me read his message to me, and then we'll talk about it. He said, "You're a spammer. I see you leaving political messages all over the internet, on movie review sites, relating them to your political agenda, and then signing them all with this URL. I've reported you to your ISP as a spammer, but also, since looking at your site, I think you're effing nuts, too." And by the way, he didn't say effing. That was, I like to keep this a clean podcast. So when these potty mouths out there, typical leftists who apparently can only work blue. So I clean that up a little bit. But anyway, that's the gist of his message. So let's take this apart bit by bit. First of all, he says, "You're a spammer. I see you leaving political messages all over the internet, on movie review sites, relating them to your political agenda, and then signing them all with this URL." Okay, so a spammer, really. So the fact that when I post on a political site, right, I might make a comment on, you know, let's say the Chicago Sun-Times runs a story, and so I post a letter on there, you know, which is just an internet letter to the editor, right? Like, probably I would say 85% of the rest of the internet, I have a signature, okay? You have a signature down there at the bottom. You know, it may be a little saying, or in my case, as with a lot of folks, it's a link to this website. Ooh, what a spammer. Hey, John Smith, I make that link in there so that people can get a hold of me. Unlike you, you craven little toad, I am not afraid to actually deal with people. I'm not afraid to state my opinion and have people be able to make comments back to me. So, yeah, you know, I put the link on there so that people can find this podcast if they'd like. I know that probably gets your goat. You would rather that no one ever hears the kind of stuff that I say. But, golly, I hate to break this to you, buddy. This is the United States of America. Crazy thought, huh? The idea that you'd actually be able to say what you want to say. Now, as far as this on movie review sites, I'm not quite sure to what he's referring there. I generally only post things on political sites. There might occasionally be the time when maybe there's a news story about some fellow traveler like Sean Penn or Danny Glover or something like that, when I might make some sort of a political point on that. That's the only thing I can think of that he might be talking about here. I mean, but given, you know, given the kind of movie review sites that this guy probably frequents, we're probably talking more like two girls in a cup here. So I don't know. They're not the kind of places that I would be going. And then he says, I've reported you to your ISP as a spammer. Now, this is so interesting to me because it absolutely goes to the heart of who these folks on the far left are, right? Here's a guy that doesn't just disagree what I have to say. He doesn't want me to be saying it. He doesn't want the words to get out. That's what scares him. And don't make a mistake about this, folks. He is frightened, just like so many of these folks. You know, they talk about people on the right, oh, it's all this atmosphere of fear, right? The Tea Parties, they're all these people who are just afraid of this or that. No, not really. We're concerned. But most of us are a fairly courageous people, I think. I think it's the folks on the left who are afraid. And they're afraid because, despite the fact that they had this, you know, supposed landslide election last time, they're not making any ground. And in fact, they seem to be losing it, if the elections of this last week are any indication. No, I think they're scared. And so this guy, just like the rest of his scared little subgroup, he wants not only to have his opinions heard, but he wants to make sure that mine are not. And so what does he threaten to do? I've reported you to your ISP as a spammer. Now, even though, as I pointed out, I've done absolutely nothing, nothing in even the slightest that would qualify me as a spammer. He says, I've reported you to your ISP as a spammer. So what he has done, he has basically said, look, I am powerless and impotent. I in no way can, not only can I not deal with you in the arena of ideas, which obviously he cannot, but he's saying, I need to go get Big Brother to come along and to shut you up for me. And this is so indicative of folks on the left. It absolutely is. They're constantly saying, oh, please, big government, come and take care of things for me. I mean, it's absolutely true. It's like something out of The Godfather. They look at big government as Don Corleone, and they're basically showing up on the day of his daughter's wedding, or when he can refuse them nothing, and saying, look, I need you to take care of these people for me, because I don't have the capacity to do so. I have neither the power nor the intellect to deal with these people. So I want you, big government Corleone, to come along and fix them for me. I need them whacked. Right? So in this case, Mr. John Smith says that he is going to report me to my ISP as a spammer so that they can fix me, so that they can shut me up, because he can't. He can't. And he can't deal with the factual or even opinionated stuff that I talk about. He has nothing. And so he has to try to shut me up, not even through the means of his own, because he's a coward. No, he's going to get big government, right? Or in this case, the ISP, the big authority figure, to shut me up. Now, one of the things that's interesting to note here is he said earlier in his note, I see you leaving political messages all over the internet. Interesting. What are the odds that this one particular guy, Mr. John Smith, would happen, just happen, to be on all of these sites that I am frequenting? Huh. You know, you could always, I guess, come to the conclusion that he has to be following me in some way, right? And even on the internet, I'm pretty sure that might be considered stalking. Well, gee, maybe I should report Mr. John Smith as an internet stalker. Pretty sure that's against the law, isn't it? What do you think, Mr. John Smith? You think that that's something that should be done? Do you think that you and I should deal with this as men? Or do you think that I should have to go get Big Brother to try to shut you up, huh? And finally, the ever erudite Mr. John Smith says, but also, since looking at your site, I think you're effing nuts, too. You know, I just find that fascinating. If you go back, and, you know, all my podcasts are still available. You can go back and you can listen to every one of them. And I guess by mentioning that, I must be a spammer. But you can go back and you can listen to every single one of them. You can listen to every minute of every one of them. They have in no way been abridged whatsoever. They are totally intact and completely as originally published. And you can find what it is I speak about and what it is I believe. And what do I speak about on those things? What are my core beliefs? Well, I believe in freedom. I think that generally speaking, if what you're doing is not in any way affecting someone else, you pretty well damn sure have the right to do it. Now, for some folks, that might go a little too far. They might think that more a libertarian belief. I don't know, maybe it is. But generally speaking, yeah, I'm pretty much for freedom. I believe in self-determination. I think that you have the right to decide what your future holds. I believe you have the right to direct your life. Not the government, not outside entities, no, you. I believe that you have the right to keep what you earn. If you've put in the time and the effort, whether it's through an education, whether it's through just nose to the grindstone, whether it's through your natural talents, whether it's through skills you have acquired, whatever you are able to acquire for yourself, as long as you are breaking no laws, you have the right to keep that. That's what I believe. And I don't believe that the government arbitrarily has the right to just come in and say, no, we're going to take what you have by force and give it to people that we think deserve it more. No, I don't believe that. There are certain things that I am willing to say, okay, we should pay some taxes to support things that everyone uses equally, or at least can access equally. Things like the, you know, police department, the military, you know, roads, things like that. Okay, I have no problem with that. But when you actually start talking about the forced redistribution of wealth, yeah, John Galt's got a damn problem with that. What else do I believe? I believe people were created equal. That doesn't mean that everyone stays equal throughout life. Some people achieve more than others. Some people are just nicer folks than others. But I think we're created equal. I don't think that there is any difference in what we are worth, at least at birth, you know, between one race or another, or one gender or another, or what have you. And I believe that people are basically good. I know the folks on the left don't like that notion. They like to believe that we are all tremendously flawed, and that it is up to society and the government to force us to be better folks. Right? That's why they have to confiscate our wealth, because certainly we're not going to give it voluntarily to folks who may need it. Even though statistically, you know, what we find is that conservatives give tremendously more to charity, willingly, which is what makes it charity, by the way, than leftists ever do. And if you go back and you listen to my various podcasts, pretty much everything that I say on them is an extension of that, of those basic core beliefs. And yet I've got the genius John Smith here saying, but also, since looking at your site, I think you're effing nuts too. So tell me there, John Smith, what exactly did I just say, or have I said in any of my podcasts, that is so effing nuts? Are you against the idea of freedom? Really? Does that bother you? Are you against the idea that people are all created equal? Are you against the idea of self-determination? What exactly in there is so nuts? Because I tell you, John Smith, I think whatever it is in there that you find so crazy, I think that's going to tell us a heck of a lot about what kind of a guy you are. You know, I think we've spent enough time on the on Mr. John Smith here. Although, and I will tell all of the folks who sent emails, Mr. Smith, I absolutely invite you to send more comments in. We would love to read them on the show some more. Or you can, as I've told folks before many a time, if you want to put a recorded message on here, put the audio, that's absolutely fine too. I will put it on the show. You have my word that nothing that you either type to me or that you put on an audio segment, I will not in any way cut it. Well, with the exception of profanities. I will not allow you to be profane on my show. I know it's the coin of the realm for all of you wannabe Tarantino types, But you're not going to be profane on my show. But as long as you keep it clean, as long as you don't use any four-letter words, okay, then I will put your comments on the podcast totally uncut. And yes, I will respond to them, because that's how discourse works. But I will not touch them. I will leave them as is, because quite frankly, I think the worst enemy that your side has are folks like you. I absolutely don't believe in curtailing other people's speech, because I think that nitwits like you are going to do far more damage to your position than I ever could. So I want you to speak. I want to shine every bit of light and illumination on you guys as possible. So please, give me some more comments. I would appreciate that. You want to come back on what I said in this podcast so far? That's absolutely fine. You want to talk about other stuff? That's absolutely fine too. But see, that's the difference between us. You want to take away my forum here, right? Well, I'm going to report you to your ISP. You want to shut me up. I don't want to shut you up. I want to give you a forum so you can be heard. That's the difference between you and me, Mr. John Smith. Anyway, though, let's move on here. The next one, this is from a gentleman who calls himself Rick. Just Rick. And this one is priceless. It's only three words long. And even though it's only three words long, he could not resist dropping the F-bomb in those three words. Rick says simply... And I'll give you the clean version of this, if you will, although it's still not so clean. Rick says, F you, Klansman. Wow, Rick, you are a regular Noel Coward. I'm not quite sure how to respond there. Touché, sir, well met. Okay, I guess the first thing that bothers me is F you Klansmen. He does not say Klansmen, he says Klansmen, okay? Look, I am the first guy to admit I've got a weight problem. That does not, however, mean you need to refer to me in the plural, Rick. If you're going to call me a Klansman, make it a Klansman. I may be an overweight Klansman, but I am not Klansmen. You know, folks, this is... no surprises here. When the left cannot deal with your opinions, when they cannot deal with facts, when they cannot deal with logic, what they do is turn to name-calling. It's the coin of the realm for them. And usually the most popular card is the race card. We all know this. So what does Rick do? F you, Klansman. Rick, I don't know to what extent I've talked about this on the show before. Let me tell you a little something about me and race, all right? Now, when I was a little kid, I started learning to read before school. I started reading at about age 3. Somewhere about the time that I started school, I would have been probably about, I might have been first grade, so maybe about 6 years old. I got a real appetite for reading biographies of famous people. And I read various ones, I remember reading biographies of people like Harry Houdini and Walt Disney and just a whole bunch of different folks. And to this day, I'm quite interested in reading biographies. But one of the first ones that I read, and one of the ones that has stuck with me throughout my life, was a biography of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And even at the age of 6, Rick, after reading that book, I thought to myself, this was a great man. Now, I know in the interim, folks have talked about Dr. King, and there may have been some things about him that were, a little less than admirable. I mean, but overall, the basic idea that Dr. King tried to get across, the dream that he spoke about so eloquently, Rick, that's something that I absolutely believed in. And I embraced that, even as a child, just so fervently. And I tell you, by the time I got to be a teenager, I was so just absolutely entrenched in those sort of ideas. Really pretty wonderful ideas, in my opinion. And, at the time, I probably was looked at as just a raving liberal, Rick. Now, interestingly enough, my views are exactly the same now as they were then on this kind of stuff, and yet I'm viewed as a conservative. It's funny how that works, isn't it? But so anyway, Rick, during my teenage years, I became very estranged from my father. You see, my dad, he may have any number of problems. I don't think he's basically a bad human being or anything, but given the way that he was raised, how he was brought up, and the folks that he has been around all his life, my dad is a racist. He's got very particular ideas about, other races of folks. And as a teenager, that was something that I absolutely could not stomach. And because of it, I pretty much alienated myself from my father because of that. For good or bad, but that's what happened, because his ideas were just so anathema to me, I wanted nothing to do with it, and I guess with him through extension, right? So after a few years, things, they didn't necessarily get any better, but I wasn't hearing quite as much of the racist stuff, so I guess things were relatively smoothed over. But then I ended up becoming a father myself. And for the first couple of years that after my son was born, my wife and I had to live with my folks because we were in tough financial times. So we lived with my folks for a while early on. And I got to tell you, the first couple of years after my son was born, even though we lived in the same house with him, my son did not spend a lot of time around my dad. And that was through a purposeful choice that I had made. It was kind of a repeat of me kind of alienating myself from him in earlier years. Because, I looked at my son, I looked at this little infant, and I didn't want him to be brought up with the same kind of ignorance and hatred, that I had seen, and which I had been lucky enough through various and fairly miraculous means that I had been able to avoid, that I had been able to break that chain, thank goodness. And I look at all of this. I look at what I have gone through. I look what I've tried to, keep my son from becoming. And then I have to deal with a total ignoramus like you, Rick, telling me that I'm a Klansman. Why? Because I believe in freedom and self-determination. I believe that people are equal. Yeah, that sounds like a real Klansman, doesn't it, Rick? And I should mention, by the way, my dad, and I may have mentioned this on the show before, my dad, who, as I said, is an out-and-out racist, my dad voted for Mr. Obama. He voted for him. To this day, I'm sure he supports everything that Obama is trying to put into the works. And yet, to this day, my dad has never referred to Mr. Obama as anything except the N-word. And why is that, Rick? Well, it's because, as I said, my dad's a racist. But much like you and your kind, Rick, my dad does what he's told. And my dad is a union man. And the union told him, hey, we want you to hate Republicans. So he has had a lifelong hate affair with Republicans. And they told him that you should vote for Obama. Right? And God knows what was said behind closed doors. They might have called him the N-word too, but they probably said you better vote for that N-word. Because that's the kind of people a lot of those folks are too. So when we talk to ourselves about how much Mr. Obama has done for race relations, realize a lot of the folks who put him in office sure haven't done a lot for race relations. And I would be willing to guess, Rick, that in your own way, maybe a more metaphysical way, you're wearing a lot more of a hood than I am, buddy. You really are. But as I said, Rick, you only gave me three words here, so I think I've really devoted far more to you than you deserve. But again, hey, you want to comment some more? You want to do a little back and forth here with me? I'm telling you, you got my invitation. If you want to just keep giving me these witty three-word bon mots, you feel free to. But I want to hear from you, Rick. I do. As I said, I want folks like you to get the biggest forum, the most major platform available. I want everyone in the world to look at you and see who you and what you are. So please, allow me in my small way, in this tiny corner of the internet that I occupy, you know, allow me to offer you that that privilege, because I sure want to make you known. Okay, folks, and finally here, this next one I would say is probably my favorite of the emails that I got this time. This is from a guy that calls himself only Robert T. I'm assuming it's the T is short for something. He's not Robert T. like Mr. T. like, I pity him. I pity the conservatives. It's not like that. Let's see. Here's what Big Bob had to say. We'll go through this, and then again, we'll kind of break it down, if you will. Big Bob said, saw your post on the New York Times. Now, looking at your site, I am sorry I wasted my time engaging an idiot. What rocks do you scrape under to find people willing to pay attention to your insipid nonsense? I guess there are many potential listeners in those too dumb to get enough money to buy Palin's latest book. Loved the bit about how black people mooch welfare while driving BMWs. Did you have to travel back to the 70s to dig that old chestnut out? Really, you are just very dumb. Oh, Bobby, we love you, man. So much to say here. Let's see. First of all, saw your post on the New York Times. Okay, so there was probably some news story on the New York Times, and I probably posted a letter of comment about it. Okay. All right, good so far. I will not make any comment about the fact that I am not surprised that Bob here was reading the New York Times, because obviously I had to have been reading the New York Times as well, or I would not have made the comment. The greater question might be, how much in the New York Times does Bob actually believe? But then he says, now, looking at your site, I am sorry I wasted my time engaging an idiot. Well, first of all, Bob, you haven't wasted any time engaging an idiot or anyone else for that matter. What you have done is, as I said, done kind of a drive-by here and posted a note on my site, but you haven't engaged me. We're not even going steady, Bob. For us to actually have some sort of an engagement, if you will, we would have to be sharing ideas back and forth, and that's not what's happening. In fact, if you look at not just Bob, but all three of these folks who left emails this time, nobody says anything to me whatsoever that contradicts my opinions, the factual stuff I say on the show, anything. Nothing. What they say is just insults, right? Telling me, oh, well, this, you're such an idiot. You know, you're crazy, blah, blah, blah. But they don't say, look, you're wrong, and here's why you're wrong. Not one time. That would be engagement, Bob. What you do is just name-calling and then running off. Believe me, Bob, if you want to engage me in the arena of intellectual battle, hey, I'm more than happy to, right? Not a problem for me. I am always froggy and ready to jump there, bud, any moment. But that's not what you're doing. Then Bob says, what rocks do you scrape under to find people willing to pay attention to your insipid nonsense? Well, I don't know, Bob, what rock did you come out from under? Because apparently, unless you're lying, you must have taken the time to listen to some of my insipid nonsense. Bob just insulted everyone else in the audience, by the way, gang. Because if you listen to this show, apparently, you have to be the kind of people, I guess, that are found under rocks. Now, this also tells us something about Bob himself, right? Because what he's saying is, if you listen to this show, therefore, you must, well, as I said, you must be the kind of person who comes out from under a rock. So what that says is, Bob must think that one should only listen to things to which you agree, right? I mean, it's perfectly possible that people are listening to this podcast who absolutely disagree with it, but they want to hear what it is that the other side has to say. I mean, I would say I spend at least as much time listening to my opposition as I do folks who agree with me. Which really is pretty easy given how much opposition the media puts out to folks like me. So, you know, I take in at least as much of the other side. Apparently, though, Bob, on the other hand, is saying that the people who would listen to this show are the sort who come out from under rocks. Well, Bob, what about the folks who listen to this show who happen to agree with your side? Are they also these rock dwellers? And of course, once again, bear in mind, Bob doesn't tell us what my insipid nonsense is. There's no specifics about that, because then Bob might have to actually present something that is factual or logical in nature. And again, that's, to a guy like Bob, that's garlic to a vampire. And then he says, and I will have to read this slowly, I guess there are many potential listeners in those too dumb to get enough money to buy Palin's latest book. Well, first of all, Bob, your syntax is very difficult to read. And it would help if you actually would write out your words, not like using dollar signs for money and the like. I don't know, maybe you're a rapper or something, Bob. I don't know, maybe you spent too much time on the internet. But there's such a thing as words, and you can actually type those in. You had plenty of space there on the comment section, Bob. You didn't have to use shorthand. So, you know, if you could do so, I would appreciate that. But, of course, it's also interesting to notice that, of course, Bob has to go after Sarah Palin. Now, Sarah Palin has nothing to do with this podcast. I've probably hardly ever mentioned the woman. But to Bob, first of all, anyone who is to the right of Bob, therefore, is all in the same camp. Here's a guy that cannot distinguish one from another. There are two classes of people. There are Bob and not Bob. Now, Bob might cut you some slack if you are to the left of Bob, possibly. I don't know. And for all I know, there may not be anyone to the left of Bob. But anyone to the right of Bob is in the same group. So, therefore, he has to bring up Sarah Palin. As far as Bob is concerned, John Galt is Sarah Palin, is Rush Limbaugh, is Bill O'Reilly, is Glenn Beck, is Newt Gingrich, fill in the blank. Nice linear way of thinking there, Bob. But even beyond that, he feels the need to take a pot shot at Sarah Palin for the same reason everyone else in the media is doing so, or at least a large portion of the media. There are tons of folks out there I'm sure the media do not like, but they don't necessarily go after. But they go after Sarah Palin with just this ferocity. Why is that, do you think? Well, I think it's for the same reason that they go after Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh or who have you. It's because those people are effective. If Rush Limbaugh had the same number of listeners that I do, not only would he be off the charts, not only would he be beneath their notice, but they wouldn't care. They wouldn't care. I mean, you don't see him coming after me, right? Because I, as much as I enjoy doing this show and as much as I hope that you enjoy it, you know, I don't think I am some tremendous threat necessarily to, you know, the liberal mainstays. But someone like Sarah Palin gets noticed, obviously. And more importantly than getting noticed, she's effective. There are plenty of people out there who get a large forum. I mean, look at someone like Janine Garofalo. I mean, there's a woman that was all over the place. I mean, she had her own show on Air America, but who cared? Right? I mean, she's one of the reasons that everything for the Air America folks has gone right down the tubes. Nobody cares what she has to say. She's not effective. But Sarah Palin, yeah, she scares them. She scares guys like Bob. And so, yeah, even in a note to me, he has to say something like that. It's interesting. Now, next here, and this is fascinating to me, absolutely fascinating. The next thing here, and we'll spend a little bit of time on this. Bob says, and I quote, "Loved the bit about how black people mooch welfare while driving BMWs." Okay, well, I'll tell you what we'll do here. I will play the clip from our last episode where I mentioned that very thing. I will not take it out of context. It has not been changed. I will simply play it. and then we will talk about it. But I want you to have the concrete evidence of what Bob's talking about here. I don't want there to be any sort of misconceptions or anything. So take a listen to this, if you would, please.
I don't need Obama money, okay? I don't need money coming out of his stash. Keep your Obama money. I will take my John Galt money, all right? It may not be the wad of cash that Obama money is, but it's mine. It's mine. I earned it. You know, I didn't get it because the government picked someone else's pocket and then gave it to me so that I could sit home on my couch eating Hot Pockets and watching Baby Daddy Tass on the Maury Povich show. And then getting in my Mercedes and going to Cobo Hall so that you can give me more of it. I know where my money comes from. It comes from my hard work and effort. And that's a pretty great feeling. It's a lot better feeling than living as some sort of a bird in a gilded cage.
Okay, so, as you heard there, I was commenting on the folks with a entitlement mentality who, among other things, and this was in the news recently, decided to show up at Cobo Hall to get some of the Obama money, right? We played those clips from the ladies who were there for Obama money. They didn't know where Obama money came from. They had no idea that it was taken from someone else, but what they knew is that Obama was giving it to them, and that's all that mattered, right? And as they said, that's why we voted for him. We love him. He gives us stuff, right? So anyway, I had played that clip on the last episode, and then I talked about it a little bit. And I talked about the fact that there are far too many folks out there with that entitlement mentality. Like the folks who showed up at Cobo Hall and wanted their Obama money. And yeah, I absolutely do think that there are a ton of people out there in our society who have their hands out and who are saying, give me money. I want government money. I don't know where it comes from, but somebody's given it to me and that's all that makes a difference. And yes, I absolutely do think that a lot of them, not everyone, of course, but a lot of them are just lazy folks who would just as soon sit around on the couch and, as I said, watch the Maury show or play video games or what have you, as opposed to doing what a lot of us do and go out and actually work for our money. Not for someone else's money, but for our money. Okay, I work for John Galt's money, as I said on the last podcast. I don't need Obama money. I got my own. It may not be his stash, as the woman said. It may not be to that level. I'm not, you know, pulling in trillions at a time and giving it to folks. But it's mine. I worked for it. I didn't steal it from anyone. I didn't have the government take it from someone at gunpoint and give it to me. It's mine. I earned it. And yet, Big Bob here says, and I quote, loved the bit about how black people, my emphasis here, black people mooch welfare while driving BMWs. Interesting. Now, I just played the clip for you. Anywhere in there, anywhere, did I say anything about black people? Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. In fact, Bob is the one who is bringing race into this. Why does Bob assume that the people I'm talking about are black? I will be the first one to tell you there are a lot more white people out there with their hands out than there are black people. Simply due to the fact that, what, about 66% of the country is white and only about 13 or 14% is black. So obviously, yeah, there are a lot more white people out there with their hands out. I didn't say anything about these folks being black. Why do you assume that they're black, Bob? What is it that you think about poor people and black people that you necessarily associate the two? And an even better question is, what is it about moochers? Because that's what I'm talking about here. Moochers, why do you assume that those would be black people? Because I sure as hell don't. If you go back and listen to what I said, what did I say, Bob? Huh? I talked about people sitting on their couches. Well, I could be wrong, Bob, but I'm pretty sure white people have couches too, don't they? I could be wrong, and you'd have to look this up, but I'm guessing probably white people invented couches. I don't know, and maybe it's an invention of the African continent. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that the couch is not something that people normally associate with black folks. Now, is it? Maybe you, Bob. I don't know. What else did I say? Watching the Maury show. Again, Bob, I could be wrong here, but given the fact that Maury has been on for quite a while, he must have some pretty good ratings. Given the fact that he has pretty good ratings, and only 14% of the country are black folks, then it seems to me there's a pretty good chance he's got an awful lot of white viewers, right? And Bob, I don't know what it is you think, for what reason you exactly associate the Maury show with black folks. Me, I associate the Maury show kind of with the lowest common denominator. I mean, it's a show where every time I have flipped by it, they're either doing paternity tests or they are trying to decide whether or not guys in drag are actually men or women. Yeah, this is television at its finest, Bob. This, I guess, the kind of stuff you watch normally? I don't know. But I certainly don't associate that with black people. What else did I say, Bob? I said that they were watching a baby daddy test on the Maury show. Do you associate paternity tests with black people? Because I don't. Most of the people I know who have had paternity tests have been white folks. Or is it the phrase baby daddy? Well, while it's true, Bob, that comes out of the, what will we call it, the black vernacular. I don't know, maybe you would call it Ebonics. I wouldn't. But that's a phrase that's very widely used everywhere now. And it's certainly used among the kind of folks who watch the Maury show. So that has nothing to do with race. And what else? Oh, and I said, and you mentioned this too, Bob, about driving their Mercedes. Do you associate driving a Mercedes with black people, Bob? I mean, I thought it was folks like you who are always talking, about how terrible conservatives have kept the black race poor. If they're poor, Bob, I'm pretty much assuming they're not driving a Mercedes, are they? But even beyond that, Bob, you said, did you have to travel back to the 70s to dig that old chestnut out? I could be wrong, Bob, but I'm pretty good on pop culture stuff. I believe the stereotype of the 70s probably involved black people driving more like a Cadillac or something, Bob, not a Mercedes. I think generally, I mean, the Mercedes, it's a German car, Bob. I think we probably associate it with those terrible white Europeans that I'm sure that you have a great deal of contempt for. So I don't think that you could call my use of the Mercedes there racist either. So really, when it comes right down to it, what you have, in a sense, admitted to us is that you're the one who took those comments and automatically associated them with black people, because I sure don't. Or was it the fact that I was talking about Cobo Hall? Now, Bob, Cobo Hall, yeah, it's in Detroit, and Detroit is primarily a black city, but about 20% of the people who live in Detroit are not black, Bob. So what, are you saying that the people who showed up at Cobo Hall, they were all black? I'm guessing they probably weren't, Bob. I mean, as I said, 20% of the people who live in Detroit are not black. Undoubtedly, some of them had to show up there too, didn't they? Or is this where you say, Bob, well, you know, the fact that 20% of the people in Detroit, that doesn't make any difference. They don't really count. It's still a black city. Really? Is that what you think, Bob? I mean, tell me, if things were reversed, if 80% of a city was white and the other 20% was black, would you say the 20% black folks in that city don't matter? I sure hope not. I sure hope that you're not as much a racist as you seem to be, Bob. And I tell you, that really is how you come across. I mean, I make some comments about people mooching and having their hand out, and you automatically say, loved the bit about how black people? I didn't make that assumption, Bob. I didn't make that assumption at all. Most of the black folks that I know are decent, hardworking people, as are most of the white folks that I know. But I'm talking about the moochers. I'm talking about the people who expect a handout. I'm talking about the people who don't want to work and who just want to hold out their hand to get some Obama money. And that's the real problem, isn't it, Bob? I don't believe for one second, Bob, that you think that I'm actually a racist. Not in the slightest. Not in the slightest. Any more than, you know, Mr. Rick F.U. Klansman does. You guys don't think that I'm a racist. If you've listened to the show, and maybe you haven't. Maybe, once again, you're just those kind of idiots that don't bother listening to the show before you make a comment. I don't know. But if you have listened to the show, you obviously, unless you are just brain dead, you realize that I'm not in the slightest bit a racist. But that's all you've got, right? It's all the ammunition that you have. When I tell you what I believe and when I tell you why I believe it, you can't stop and say, wait a minute, John Galt, here's the reason that you're wrong. You can't. You do not have that capacity. You do not have that ammunition. All you can do is throw out one more card. This time it's the race card. In a different context, it might be the gender card, right? It might be the homophobia card. It might be the, damned greedy capitalist card. And it's because you've got nothing else. However, I'm going to tell you guys, I am not going to ask you or suggest or anything else that you stop playing those cards. In fact, I would encourage you to play them all the more. Because what you will find, even dawning in your pathetic little brains, what you will find is that more and more decent Americans are seeing you guys for what you are. As you keep playing those cards, more and more people are having that light go on over their head. They're having that little epiphany that says, wow, Big Bob and Rick and John Smith, they got nothing. They've got nothing. If they had something to contribute to this argument, they would do so. But all they can do is name call and tell you what racist people are. Please, guys, keep saying that stuff. I cannot urge you enough. Because I'm telling you, I have seen more of that in the last year than I have for a very long time. And I have also in the last year seen more of a negative response to it. I have seen more people saying, okay, enough of the damned race card. And it's making me so happy. Because those dreams that I talked about before, those dreams of Dr. King, every time I hear somebody say, okay, enough of the race card, I see those dreams of Dr. King actually starting to come true. I see us starting to judge people based not on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character, something that you guys seem incapable of doing. And it makes me happy. It makes me tremendously happy. Anyway, one more thing here, Big Bob. You say, in closing, really, you are just very dumb. I tell you, that's a perfect little capper for everything that you say, because it really, it's a total encapsulation of what I have found folks on the left to be. And as I have said on previous podcasts, believe me, you guys, I used to be way, way to the left of you. All right? I made you guys look like Rush Limbaugh, trust me. And eventually I started to wise up. But one thing I know from that time is that there is nothing more true about folks on the left than their elitism. And the fact that they assume that they're the smart folks. I mean, they assume other things too, right? That they're the caring folks, that they're the ones who actually give a damn about people. One of the reasons why they throw things out like the race argument, because they want to think of themselves as, I'm the open-minded guy. I'm the guy out there who's special because I don't judge people on the basis of their skin. Now, of course, that's total BS, because that's exactly what you do. You want to pigeonhole everybody into this little box. But aside from wanting to feel special, liberals think that they are just it when it comes to intelligence. So almost every time I have ever been in an argument with someone on the left, they inevitably, along with the throwing out the race card, the gender card, the homophobia card, whatever, they almost always try to attack your intelligence. Not just saying, I believe you're wrong, but saying, well, you're just stupid, right? And, you know, and Bob does that right here. Really, you are just very dumb. Now, Bob doesn't tell me what I have said specifically that's very dumb. The closest he comes is to talking about something that I didn't say about black people mooching welfare. I didn't say that in the slightest. He has to create that straw man argument so he has something to say, but I didn't say that. So Bob doesn't bother telling me what I said that was so dumb because he can't. If he actually had to refute the things that I say through logic and reason and fact, he would be lost. And I know this. Bob, I gotta tell you, buddy, I know this more than just about anybody because, Bob, I used to be you. And part of the reason that I found I couldn't be you anymore is because of just stuff like this. I found that when I was having arguments with people on the right, I had nothing to say. Inevitably, I turned to name calling and throwing out the race card and taking this opinion that, well, I'm so much more educated than you, how could you possibly disagree? Well, it just taint so, as they say. Folks, first of all, I've got a couple of degrees. And you know what that means? Diddly squat. I spend all day long around people, some of the most educated people you can ever imagine. Really, really tremendously educated people. And I've come to the conclusion that so many of them are absolutely clueless. They have been so indoctrinated and brainwashed into thinking in one particular way that all the education that they have had has done nothing for their brains because they are incapable of actually looking at an idea, opening themselves up to it, and judging it on its merits. They cannot do that. But what happens is they convince themselves that the way that they think is so much superior to the way that anyone else thinks. That's who Bob is. And as I said, I know this because I used to be Bob. I used to think, oh my gosh, I'm so much smarter than the rest of you. Well, I wasn't. I was an idiot. To this day, don't get me wrong, I don't think that I'm a freaking genius now. But I think I've wised up a little bit. But you have to realize, folks like Bob, every time that they get into an argument, and you can see this, look on the internet, look on any message board where political stuff comes up. What you will find is that the folks on the left will keep using the same kind of phrases. They will talk about people on the political right being hillbillies and inbred and watching NASCAR and on and on and on. And, you know, they will go into, oh, how you never got out of grade school and you never had the benefit of college and blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing every time because that's who they are and that's who they think that we are. They think that they have the opinions that they do because they're well-educated. Just the other day, I was talking to my son, and my son attends the college where I teach. And he was talking about a sociology class he had had that day. And he said, well, you know, the instructor today, the instructor said that most of the people who attend college are liberals. And he said the reason that most of the people who attend college are liberals is because they are the folks more likely to be open-minded about things and to think things through. Well, gang, what can I say after that? I mean, that tells you not only the kind of bias that there is in academia, which obviously I've talked about before, and which I know about, I mean, since I work there, I know about intimately. Not only shows that, and it not only shows that instructors are willing to say about anything when they have a class as a captive audience, and again, I've talked about that before too, but it also just basically shows how these folks think about us. Because we disagree with them, we cannot possibly have an open mind, right? Because that's what an open mind means. I mean, think about the contradiction there. To them, what an open mind means is that we opened up our minds enough to agree with them. Why is it no one can have an open mind if they view the other side? Why is it if you have conservative views, it cannot be that you looked at both sides and decided, hey, this is what I believe? No. Smart people can only think in liberal terms, according to these folks. And really, gang, what is more open-minded than that? Wow. Anyway, I just, again, I want to say to all of you folks, all three of you guys, please, feel free, please, I cannot urge you enough, feel free to write back in again, send an email, leave a recorded message, whatever you would like to do. I want to hear from you guys. I desperately do. Because unlike you, I don't want to do some sort of a hit-and-run job. Let's have some discourse. Let's have some back and forth. If you've got factual, logical stuff that you want to deal with, let's go at it. There's always the chance that I'm wrong. So, hey, how about if you prove me wrong? Because if I am wrong, I want to change my opinion. Now, I wonder, does that go the other way around? If, in fact, there's a possibility that you're wrong, do you want me to change your opinion? Or is it an impossibility that you are wrong? Maybe something to think about, huh? But anyway, yeah, feel free. We'd like to hear from you guys again. Anyway, I guess that's enough for this episode. I will remind you that you can access our podcast at www.johngault.podomatic.com, and there you will find all the means necessary to leave comments. That means you, Big Bob and Rick and John Smith and anybody else. I'd sure like to hear from you. Love me, hate me, just make sure that you let me know what you think. What a wonderful phrase, isn't it? Let me know what you think. If only everybody could get used to saying that. And along those lines, in closing, I will leave you with this. The words of George Crane, who said, "You can have such an open mind that it is too porous to hold a conviction." Take care, folks.